Thanks for being here again this morning. Today, we get to spend our whole time together thinking as clearly as we can about what is the gospel. And there's no more important question to consider. There's no more encouraging a question to consider. There's no more necessary a question to consider. Last week, as we looked at the first question of membership, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure and without hope, save in His sovereign mercy? We really spent our time making it clear what our need is. Why do we need the gospel? Why do we need Jesus? It doesn't make sense unless we understand that first question. Unless we understand that as nice as these people are in the room around us, they're actually bad. You know, we like to say, when we're from a neck of the woods where everybody's good people. We're all good people. But the Bible says we're all bad people. And unless we understand that, the good news that we're going to study today makes no sense. But if we understand that, if we understand that we're not right with God, that we don't deserve God's blessing or fellowship with Him, then what we're going to study today not only makes sense, but it is the greatest and best news that anybody has ever heard. So let's pray, and then we'll give attention to this second question of membership, and be ready to say it with me when we come out of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the privilege of meeting again with these parents and young people and elders and shepherds and officers who are here to serve as sponsors. Thank You for the word that You have given us about Yourself and Your grace in the Scripture. Thank You that we get to spend our whole time together thinking about that message of grace. It's my prayer that that truth that we commit ourselves to today, that we study today, focus on today, would take hold of the hearts of us all, especially these young people. My prayer would be that it would take hold of their hearts sooner rather than later. But whatever Your purpose and whatever Your timing is, Lord, my prayer is that it would take hold of them and that they would be able to say and to sing believingly, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's read the second question of membership together. If you'd look at the second lesson in your booklet, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners, and do you receive and trust Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel?" That question focuses our attention on several things. First of all, that question raises for us the issue of what is faith. We talk about faith around here a lot, but faith is a word, especially as it's used in the Bible, that doesn't work itself into many of our daily conversations, or at least in the way that it's used in the Bible. And we want to make sure we understand what we mean by faith. What does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive and trust Him, or to rest and trust in Him? What does that mean? We want to talk about that. Secondly, we want to talk about who Jesus is. That really, really matters. in many, if not most or all, of the other world religions. Who the founder of that religion is doesn't matter much. For instance, in Buddhism, which is one of the largest religions in the world today, whether Buddha lived or not, and there's a raging debate about that, whether he lived or not doesn't really matter for those who practice that religion. Whether Jesus is who he says he is the whole game in Christianity, the whole shouting match. Christianity stands or falls based on whether Jesus is who he says he is. So it is, that's a huge question. So we want to think a little bit about what faith means. We want to think about who Jesus is. Third, we want to think about what Jesus did. Specifically, what did Jesus come to do and what did he do for all those who trust in him? And then we want to think especially about the idea that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Because, young people, you're growing up in a world where there are a lot of Christian beliefs that are offensive to people around you. And that belief may be one of the most offensive of all. The idea that Jesus is the only way that a person can be saved and come to God. But Jesus makes it very clear that that is very important for his disciples to understand and to believe. So we want to think about those four things briefly together today. First, let's think a little bit about faith. One of the things that we learn when we read the scriptures is that all true Christians have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking to fill in those blanks and you haven't done it yet, there's your first answer. All true Christians have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are lots of places that we can go to see that. One really good place is Acts 16:31. Who would read Acts 16:31 for me this morning amongst our communicants? Yes, sir. Now, in that passage, you will remember that Paul and his friends are speaking to the Philippian jailer. And what has happened is a great earthquake has occurred. And the gates of the prison have been opened. And the Philippian jailer at first, it's real interesting if you read that passage, the Philippian jailer at first gets ready to kill himself. That's because if a Roman officer or prison warden lost a prisoner, the penalty was death. And so the guy who's in charge of this prison is pretty upset when he comes back and the gates are open. And you remember Paul says, don't do anything to yourself. We're still here. And they end up having this great conversation. And the keeper of this prison says to Paul, I want to become a Christian. I want to be like you. I want to have what you have. I want my life to be changed the way that your life has been changed. And they say to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So believing in Jesus Christ is what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we still have to explain what that means. And so there's some other passages that we can go to. John 1, verses 12 and 13 is a really good passage to help us understand this. Yes? Now, isn't it interesting that in that passage, the word is received him. Believe on him, or believe in him, and here, receive him. Now, did you notice that those words, both of those words, are found in the question of membership? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and do you receive Him? Okay, let's go to another passage similar to this, Mark 9:37. Who would read that? Yes, all the way back in the corner. Okay, now, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. This, when we put this together with John 1, it'll help us understand the idea of receiving. So you've got believing and receiving. But there's another word in our question as well, and we pick it up in 2 Corinthians 1:9. Who would read the part of 2 Corinthians 1:9 that we have? Yes. Okay, so there's the word trust. And did you notice that it's found in our question as well? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive and trust Him? Now, each of these words are very, very important for understanding what faith is. Faith means to believe in Christ, to receive Him, and to trust Him. To believe in Christ means to accept what He says about Himself and about what He has done. Do you remember that when Jesus' friend Lazarus died, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus' sister, his two sisters lived, Martha and Mary. And you remember Martha met Jesus and she said, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus wouldn't have died." It's a really sad, sad passage. And Jesus asks her in the conversation, "Do you believe? Do you believe me? Do you trust in me? Do you believe in me?" And she says, "Yes." And He said, "Your brother is going to live." And Martha says something extraordinary. She says, "I know that. I know," because good believing, Bible believing Jewish people in Jesus' day believed that there was going to be a general resurrection, just like we believe at the end of time. Everybody's going to be raised again, and we're going to stand before God at the end of time. And good believing Jewish people believe that. And so she quotes that back to Jesus. Says, "I believe that. I believe that my brother Lazarus will be raised at the last day." And Jesus essentially says to her, "That's not what I was after." And He says, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me will never die." What Jesus does is He focuses her faith on Him. And the question becomes, "Martha, do you believe that what I, Jesus, say is true, and that I have the power to raise your brother Lazarus from the dead?" And she says, "Yes, I believe, Jesus. I believe you." When we say that we believe Jesus, we aren't just saying that we believe things about Him. We're saying that we believe in Him. We believe that He is who He says He is, and He has the power to do what He says He has the power to do. There are a lot of people that know things about Jesus that don't believe Him that way. You know that? There are people that can teach courses on the life of Jesus who don't believe that He is who He says He is or is able to do what He says He does. So one of the things that having faith in Jesus means is really believing that. Secondly, receiving. Now you saw this in John 1 and in Mark 9. But if I can go back to John 1, one of the things that Jesus says is that He came to His own, that is, He came to the Jewish people, and they did not receive Him. What does that mean? It means that they did not accept his claims. They did not put their trust in him. They did not honor him as the Messiah sent by God. They did not receive him as the Messiah. And every true believer receives Jesus as the Messiah. Lord, I acknowledge you as my Lord, and I welcome you in. I receive you as the Lord of my life. I acknowledge you for who you are. And to have faith in Jesus is to trust in him. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 1:9. We do not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In other words, our trust is not in us. You know, a lot of times, guys, when you're playing sports, your coaches will say things to you like, you've got to believe in yourself. Now, usually what they mean by that is that you have to be confident that the training that that coach has been giving you has prepared you to do what you're supposed to do on the field. And so they're not trying to tell you something bad. But the Christian message is never believe in yourself. It's always believe on God. Believe on Christ. My father was a Marine, and he tells me that that was one of the hardest lessons for him to learn as a Christian, because as a Marine, he was taught that there was nothing he couldn't do. And he said, you know, I would sit down, and I would look at my Bible, and it would tell me that I can't do anything apart from him, and that was totally different from what I had been trained. I had been trained that I could do anything, that bullets could not hurt me. And I had to learn not to trust in myself, but to trust in God, but to trust in Christ. That's what it means to have faith. To believe Jesus is who he says he is. To receive him as Lord and as Savior. And to trust him, not to trust yourself. Now, why is that so important? Because in all the religions of the world, except for Christianity, they say that the way to salvation is doing something yourself. You've got to do something in order to be right or to get right with God. And Christianity alone says that will never, ever work, because we're the problem. No, don't believe in yourself. Don't trust yourself. Trust in Jesus. Don't think that you can be good enough to make up for your sins. Don't think that you can cover up your sins. Don't think that you can do enough to be accepted by God, but believe and receive and trust. And one of the interesting things about each of those things is when you believe in Jesus, your focus is where? It's not on you, it's on Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, your focus is not on you, it's on Jesus. And when you trust Jesus, your focus is not on you, it's on Jesus. That is really, really hard to do. I think it's one of the hardest things to do in the world, because it doesn't come natural to us. All of us want to think that we can do things that get us right with God. But we can't. When I was in fifth grade at Sarah Collins Elementary School, Miss Fanny Finley, my fifth grade teacher, was teaching us some science lessons, and we were getting to work with beakers and test tubes and Bunsen burners. It was fun. My job was to clean up, and the last thing that Miss Fanny Finley said to me was, "Now, Ligon, do not put a hot beaker or test tube under cold water." Yes, ma'am, I was not listening to a word she said. It went in one ear, out the other. I was so excited about beakers and test tubes and Bunsen burners that I just wasn't listening to anything. So it came time to clean up, and I took a hot test tube or a hot beaker and put it under cold water. And you know what happened? Cracks went through everywhere. I mean, there were cracks everywhere in that. Now I thought, what am I going to do? Because I'm in trouble now. So I looked around on the table and I noticed masking tape. You know, yellow masking tape. And so I took that broken beaker and I started to cover all the cracks with masking tape. And then, having masking taped over all the cracks, I put it back in the shelf. And I went and sat down at my chair in the back of the room. When Ms. Finley opened up the cabinets and looked in and saw this beaker covered with masking tape, she immediately pulled it out and started peeling the tape off to reveal the cracks. And I heard those words that I'd heard so many times, "Ligon, what have you done?" And so I was called over. My poor attempt to fix the beaker did not work. I'd broken something that I didn't have any way of fixing. And I'd tried to cover up what I had broken. And it didn't work. And you know what? A lot of really smart people try and do the same thing with their lives and with their sins. They try and come up with some way to patch things up with God on their own, and it will not work unless you look away from yourself and you trust Christ. You believe who He says He is and what He's done for you. You receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. You trust in Him. You stop trusting yourself. You start trusting Him. You're still going to be in your sin. All true Christians have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, all true Christians embrace what the Bible teaches about Christ's person. In other words, believers in Jesus believe certain things about who He is. That's why the very first part of this question is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Now, this is a question that Jesus focused His disciples on regularly. Who would read Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16? Yes. Now, you remember that happened in a conversation when Jesus was asking the disciples what people were saying about Him. What are people saying about me? And the disciples told Him, well, some people think that you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. And some people think that you're Elijah raised from the dead. And some people think that you are like a prophet of old. And they were giving Him all these different answers. And then Jesus just stops Him and says, but here's the important thing. I want to know who you think I am. And then you remember Peter steps up and says, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response is, you're exactly right, Peter. That is exactly who I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the living God. And it is absolutely vital that you believe that. Same thing we see at the end of the Gospel of John. Who would read John 20, parts of verse 30 and 31 that we have listed? Yes. And notice again that John says, I've written this so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So, in other words, you're accepting and believing that Jesus is who He says He is. He is Lord, He is Messiah, He is Son of God. Now, Paul talks about that in Romans 10, verse 9. Who would read that passage? Yes.
You confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the
Notice Paul stressing there that you confess that Jesus is Lord. You don't just confess Jesus. You accept that he's Lord, he's God, he's master. So the Jesus who saves is the Jesus that the gospel presents to us in the Bible. It's not a Jesus that we make up with our own imagination. You're going to meet a lot of people in the world today who think that they can create their own Jesus, kind of the way that you can create your own kind of sandwich at Subway. You know, and they can kind of put together a little bit here and a little bit there, and they can kind of make Jesus however they want to make Jesus. But that's not the Jesus that saves. The Jesus who saves is the Jesus who is presented in the gospel. That's why you'll hear us say over and over that we believe and receive and trust in Jesus as he is offered in the gospel. What we're saying is we didn't make this up. We didn't make this up yesterday. We're receiving something about Jesus that Jesus himself told us and which has been passed down to us in the Word of God. This didn't just come out of thin air. This didn't come, not even brilliant people thought this up. All of this has come from Jesus himself. He's taught us certain things about himself. Those things have been written down in the Word, and we believe those things about Jesus. That's the Jesus who saves, the one who is Lord and Messiah and God's Son. One of the things that you will find today is that there are a lot of people that do not believe that Jesus is God's Son. They will say, well, I believe that Jesus was a good person. And there are not many people that won't say that Jesus is a good person. And they might even say, I think that he was an amazing teacher. And some will say, I think he was a great prophet. You know, Muslims believe that Jesus was a great prophet. But they don't believe that he was God's Son. And Jesus says, you're not my disciple unless you believe that I'm God's Son and that I am the Messiah sent by God into the world to save sinners. So all Christians believe what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And then third, all true Christians embrace the Bible's teaching about Christ's saving work. That is, what he did. Jesus did things for us to be saved from our sins. And we read about those in John 1:29, for instance. Who would read John 1:29? This is John the Baptist out in the wilderness, and he's been preaching, and Jesus starts approaching him. And as Jesus starts approaching him, he says these words in John 1:29. Who'd read that? Okay, go ahead. There John identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God, and every good Jewish person hearing that would have immediately thought of the Passover. Because at the Passover, a lamb was sacrificed and eaten. And here John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And here, he's emphasizing that Jesus is a Savior from sin. Listen to our question again. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? Notice how it points us to who Jesus is and what he does. He's the Son of God. He's God's own Son. And he comes to take away sin. And the question is, do you believe that Jesus is your Savior? Not just Savior, but your Savior. Now, have you, as you've been thinking about these things, you've acknowledged to yourself, yes, I am a sinner, and I do need a Savior. But have you also acknowledged, Jesus, you're my Savior. I trust in you. I receive you. I believe you. You're my Savior. Your parents can't do that for you. The church can't do that for you. Only you can believe on Jesus as your Savior. Nobody else in the world can do that for you but you. You must believe on Jesus as your Savior. And then, fourth and finally, Christians not only have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace what the Bible teaches about who He is and what He has done, but they believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Acts 4:12 is one of the passages that points us to this truth. Anybody want to read that for me? Acts 4:12. Maybe somebody back on this side of the room. Everybody over here and up here is helping us out. Now somebody back here. Somebody jump in there and volunteer for you. You want to do that for me? Great. Acts 4:12. Now, when we're told that in the book of Acts, that there is salvation in no one else but Jesus, and there's no other name under heaven that has been given by which we can be saved. When we're told that in the book of Acts, guess what? That's not being made up by the early Christians. They didn't make up that truth. They got that from Jesus. And you'll find, if you go back and look in your Bible in John chapter 14, you won't have to read many verses into that chapter until you hear Jesus say this: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In other words, the reason that we read in Acts 4:12 that there is no salvation outside of Jesus, there is salvation in no one else, and that there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, is because Jesus Himself has already taught His disciples that. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the only way of salvation. Now, friends, today that is a truth about Christianity that offends people when they hear it and makes many Christians really uncomfortable, because it can feel like you're being arrogant to say that. We're the only ones who know the way to God. We're the only ones who know the way of salvation. Everybody else is wrong. But understand that it's Jesus who tells us that He is the only way to God. And it makes sense if you think about it. Just think for a second. If you believe that Jesus is God's own Son, and if you believe that God the Father loved His Son more than anything else in this world, and that He gave His Son to die for our sins so that we could spend eternal life with God. Think about this. If there had been any other way for God to spare us from His judgment and save us from our sins than giving His own Son, don't you think He would have done that? And so when a person says, I think there's another way of salvation, really what you're saying to God is, God, I have another idea that will work just as well as the idea that You came up with. And even though You couldn't do it another way, I've got several ideas about other ways that I can come back into fellowship with You. And I don't want to be standing in that line on the judgment day. You know, all the people who have better ideas than God for how this could have been. I want to be over in the line with the people that are trusting in Jesus. See, this is not about us being smarter than anybody else. We're not claiming that. In fact, Paul goes out of the way to say what? Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were great in the eyes of the world. But the Lord in His mercy saved you by grace. And so we're not claiming to be better or smarter than anybody else. In fact, it's the opposite. From the days of the Old Testament, God's people have all acknowledged that the reason why we have been saved has nothing to do with our deserving it. We're not saved because we're better than other people. We're not. We're not saved because we've done good things that other people haven't done. We're not saved because we're smarter than other people. We're saved because of God's grace. But God himself says there's no way to come back into my presence except through my son Jesus. And Jesus says, no man can come to the Father except through me. And the apostles say, there's no other name under heaven whereby you can be saved. So it's very important for us to realize that the only way of salvation is Jesus. There's no other way. So this is the second question that you'll be asked. If you feel that you know the Lord and that you're trusting in him and that you want to join the church, you'll be asked, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and trust him alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel? And when you say yes or I do to that question, what you will be saying is this: yes, I have put my faith in Jesus. I believe he is who he says he is, and he has done what he says he's done. And he is the only way that I can be right with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these truths are so simple. Some of us in this room have been hearing them for decades and decades. But they are also deep truths. And they are truths that require a response from us. It's my prayer that these communicants would understand these truths and believe them with all their hearts, so that we could call them what the New Testament so often calls disciples: believers, real believers. Because we walk by faith, and the just live by faith. So give them faith. Saving faith, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.